this morning, because thou art changing hearts. I thank thee, Lord, this morning, because thy Spirit is working in the hearts of the believers. And I would ask thee this morning that we might recognize that this age is coming fast to a close. Use this message this morning to cause us to understand that things shall not always be as they now are. But thou art calling a people to escape the burnings, the destruction, and the damnation that's coming upon this world. Lord, I would pray that we might be cognizant this morning of thy call, of thy mercy, that thou hast been extending thyself long unto us, calling us, holding thy hands out all the day long, that we might bow the knee, surrender, and allow you to make us in to what you want us to be before it is too late. We know, Lord, that there isn't much time left for you to prepare the bride, make her ready. We know, Lord, that the world is in confusion. The church is in confusion. They languish without the knowledge of the truths and revelations of God's Word and the power of God. And Lord, you would send forth thy Word and Spirit to rescue them. Help us to be trained. Help us to be willing. Help us to be clean and holy vessels that carry the work of the Lord in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. I think that this tongues was a cry out of the heart. That's why I went on. As a matter of fact, I felt at the beginning, but I wasn't sure at the moment when it first started. This is the third in a series on what I call the State of the Union Address, the State of this Nation. The title of this message is Toward World Control, The Plan in Brief. Now, the first session, I brought you the scriptures toward world government that's coming under the Antichrist and harlot church system. And in the second session, I brought you, read to you many quotations and brought to you the move of this nation towards world control, the cry for world control. And this morning I'm going to bring, just in a sketch, in the briefest possible form, all the many things that tie in to one picture. I will not be able to give you background, data, bibliography, or anything for what I bring. It's going to be a push to race through it and get to the end of it in this one message. I do want to say before I begin the message, however, that as I am seeing God keep making things new in the assembly, as I see Him keep changing you, this shows me that God is causing us to grow and to change. What is a good pastor, a good missionary, a good apostle? He's a baby who didn't know anything. He's a young boy that grew up, and as he was in the school of God, he had his sins and his problems like anybody else. He said yes to God. He failed. He repented. He imbibed God's word. He got discouraged. God was the lifter up of his head. God encouraged him. God kept making him new. He kept plowing on. He kept pressing on. He read the word. God kept feeding him. There were times when God kept refreshing. God kept changing. He kept saying yes and doing a new work until eventually he stood heads and shoulders above those just starting in at the bottom rung of the ladder, and he went out as an apostle or a missionary or a teacher of God. And I'm saying that to say that as you keep imbibing, as you keep changing, as you keep going through this process, you too are changing from that new convert to the bride of Christ. Now, you can't tell in the life of an individual. Many of them never expected to be pastors, never expected to be apostles, but God was working. And God is doing that in the assembly. You can't tell day by day, but in the long run, there is a changing process, and God is building something. It's that continual brand new. God's doing something new. There has to be continually new vistas, new horizons. We plateau a bit, we're satisfied, and we revel in it, and then God gets us hungry, and up we go again. And that is necessary and good in growth. Just like you eat your food, you get starving for a big meal, you eat it, and you're satisfied, and then you're starving again, and that builds growth. And that is what it is also in the kingdom of God. The plan for world government. We have established in Scripture, we've established it also from the nation, calling for a world superman, world control, a world community. And now we want to see it in brief. First, the Scripture. Don't bother to turn to it. Daniel 12. At that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince that standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since a nation, even to that same time. And that time of trouble is coming. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. That's the witnessing. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and sealed even to the time of the end. And what is that time of the end? Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. And we're in the time of global travel and knowledge increased like the world has never seen. Many shall be purified and made white and tried. We're being tried. He's making us white. But the wicked shall do wickedly, and they're doing that. And none of the wicked shall understand, and none of them understand. But the wise shall understand. And then one more passage in 1 Thessalonians 5, 3 and 6. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. If you look down in the annals of time, you'll find that Christians and men of God have suffered and nations have gone under. And there's no reason to presuppose that this nation is going to go unscathed. They have earned the judgment of God. And they have invited Satan. They have gone wicked beyond measure. And they're going to pay the price. This nation might get enormous, enormous crisis in hydrogen missiles attacking this country. This nation might have a tremendous siege. Those in the know say there is hard evidence that the Soviet Union, you know, we read, well, it's, nuclear war is unthinkable. What do you think that they're building anti-missile missiles and missile systems and all the rest? It's not just. It's partly for the fear, to mold you. But they said there was hard evidence that they are working hard to get us to a place and them to a place where they can deliver a death coup, a death blow, and bring us to our knees. This nation may experience tremendous nuclear catastrophe. We may see fires and wipeouts. This nation may see even a red flag go up. I don't know all what's going to happen before we hit world government and under the Ten Kings and go right into it. But I'm going to tell you, things are waxing worse and worse, and this nation is not exempt from trouble. The prophets of blessing are prophets of lies. And even as David Wilkerson and others, myself also, have seen the cities burning and seen the catastrophes, this nation is going to be brought to her knees. But through it, people are going to be open to the gospel like never before. They're going to turn and say, who has got the word of truth? And all those that have been preaching blessing and out there, and Earl Thurner has, in his message, he didn't bring to you the details of his message. He didn't bring to you all that he saw out there. But everywhere he went, he found everything was blessing. And they said, what deception? What problems? I mean, everything is blessing. But what happens when a nation lies in ruins? those prophets are going to be discredited. They're going to go to those who've been prophesying this and say, what is the truth? We're in deep trouble. Now what do we do from here? And they're going to listen. And the people are going to be open to the gospel as never before, and you better be in a place to teach them. You won't be able to stand and say, well, I can't do that. You better be able to bring them the plan of salvation, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the deeper life, the rapture, what's coming to pass, and the man-child, the unfolding revelation of God, and all that. Every one of you should be a teacher of those things. You should have that in your mind and heart and be able to give it out freely without difficulty. A minister from another area, a pastor, been a pastor for many years. Some of you know who he is. I've been a Lutheran pastor for 11 or 13 years and got filled with the Holy Spirit, and they booted him out. He's in my living room the other day. I talked to him he was fearing some things, rumors he was hearing about community chapel and some doctrines, and he wanted to go back and tell them with his own lips because kids come out here and they get worried about it. He wanted to know, so I brought him the unfolding revelation of God for 3 hours, and he left convinced, buying our tapes and saying, and being said, I feel like I've been to school and I have learned so much. And he went out absolutely convinced because the whole theology was overturned because he saw what God says and says, I can see it, and it all lines up. And he went away thrilled with the message. And God's going to change and bring this revelation. He's got to bring it. My people shall know my name, he says. Now, the plan for world government. I want to tell you that all these things that you see that are so normal and natural are part of a plot of Satan. I want to emphasize, and I'll be some reading next time, week after next, I'll be reading some details about this, but I am not saying that every detail in itself is wrong. I am not saying everything that happened is not without purpose or reason or necessity. Some of these things are utter necessities. Some of these things need to be. Some are justifications. But because of who's behind it, because they're not walking with God, because they're in the lap of Satan, and because the devil is using it to connect and they're playing dupes, they are being used to foster world government. It's not that the thing itself is inherently evil. It's not that a computer is inherently evil. It's not that the fact that they've put that you've got credit cards, that's not inherently evil. It just makes it easier for world government, that's all. Now, here we go. I've got to run really fast. The plan for world government, first of all, is that we must weaken the strongest nations on the face of the earth. Because what rich, wealthy nation is going to take in all the poor ones along with them? Who's going to give you wealth away and to have, what American wants to have hundreds of thousands, yea, millions of destitute people from India and Mexico and all sort of flood into the United States and live all around you and take over and bring the status down? Nobody. See, the rich never want that. So they've got to bring the rich nations down and the others up. They've got to make you feel guilty. You say, well, isn't it wrong to be rich while you're poor? How many think it is? Well, you're not going to vote no matter what right about now. No, it's not wrong. But they've made you feel terribly guilty. Listen, don't listen to the devil's voice. Don't trust that voice out there. Why isn't it wrong? Why shouldn't we give all our wealth away? Shouldn't we do that? I mean, out of benevolence, isn't that what Christ wants to do? Isn't that Christian? No, absolutely, totally not. No, no, no. Why? I'll tell you why. God says, I will bless those that I will bless, and I will curse those that I will curse, and bless not those that I have cursed. And he says, because they have not followed me, I'll make the heavens brass, and I'll that it rain not, and the earth brass, that the ground grow not, that they might know that I am God. And so what's happened? They have gone away from God. They have fallen heathen gods. They are worshiping ancestors and holy cows and trees and all kinds of rocks and things. And this, now if we would leave them alone and let every one of them starve, let them starve and be in hovels and have nothing, and we would live for God in this nation under God as we should, and then we would bring the gospel to them as we should, it would be evident over the face of the whole earth who is God. and what gods are false and what ones are real and where the power is, and everybody will know it serves Jesus Christ, and the whole world will give their life to Jesus and they'd all be saved and go to heaven. But this nation is working against God, loading the heathen nations in with so much equipment and so much riches, but because we were a godly nation, that nobody can tell the difference between a false god and a heathen god today, who is right and who is wrong. And after feeding them, what are you doing? Prolonging the years of sin and heathenism and demonism, so they'll get more in hell of consequences. Now, how does that help anybody? You're not bringing them to God. You're carrying the heathen to propagate more heathen, to propagate more heathen, to send more people to hell and have more judgment. And we think we're doing a wonderful thing in this nation by doing that, because we're so benevolent. Why, we bring them no gospel and let them have their own God. This nation is guilty before God. And their wisdom is of the devil. And they do not align to the book. They want to bring this Christian nations. The Christian nations are the nations that have been rich. And they're rich because God has made them rich. Like he made Joseph, elevated Joseph, and he elevated Daniel. And he's always elevated his people. And he's made them rich and prosperous. Like he did with Solomon, like he did with David. He told Solomon, I've given you great riches, and if you would have wanted more, I would have given it thee. It's God who abases, and it's God who lifts up. It's God who gives the kingdom to whomsoever he will, like he told Nebuchadnezzar. So, part of the plan for world government under the Antichrist is to bankrupt the United States and also Europe. And that's, we're in the process of bankruptcy. The strongest nation. How can the strongest nation in the world, you know, you ever played Monopoly? Once you get all the hotels up and down the board, how does anybody going to, you're going to win the game. If you get all the hotels and own all the property, there's no way they're going to win. There's no way this nation could ever go under. Unless you sell and give away your hotels and your monopolies and your money and so forth. That's what this nation is doing. It staggers the average American. He doesn't know what's happening. He can't figure out what's happening because he doesn't know the world plan by the devil for a world government. We are giving away our wealth. We have given away by the billions. It's been advocated by our leaders to give away our wealth. We are building up the rest of the whole world. You know this is so. That's part of the plan. We are playing nation against nation. We pretend we want peace in the Mideast. That's not true. That's a lie. Now, if we want peace, why have we not gone in and put great force to strip Israel and the Arab nations of all their armaments so they can't fight? We have built them both up with mighty armies. We haven't given Israel and not Egypt and not Arabs. We haven't given the Arabs and not Israel. We haven't made so one can conquer the other. We have given them both mighty engines of war. The industrialists, the kings of the earth, the internationalists make more money that way. And by getting communism a threat, they can build the military might up. And then what do? When we build the military might up? You know what we do. We cancel contracts. We cancel military contracts. We canceled the B-1 bomber several times. We canceled the dinosaur contract. We canceled missiles. We canceled the neutron bomb. We stopped and hold back on the cruise missile. We canceled bases all over the United States. One-third drop in our military under McNamara, for example. We've canceled atomic carriers, we've canceled our nuclear subs, we've canceled nuclear power plants, we canceled bases. And then what do? We let more contracts. After they canceled, was that the end of it? No, there's been constant military contracts after cancellations. Always has been. You pay the money for the industrialists to build it, then they come out under the guise of disarmament, they disarm them, they cancel it all, throw it away, waste it, then they come, they've got to build more. And then we give secrets to the Russians so they can build up a big army. And then we say, look how big they're getting. So then we got to build more. And then we both disarm so we can both build some more. And somebody's getting wealthy beyond belief in this game. And of course, that takes more tax dollars. And that puts the nation more and more and more in debt, which is exactly what they want. They have been trying for 40 years to bankrupt this nation. But fast, they've been trying to throw the money away, give it away, bankrupt it, undercut it, sabotage it as hard and fast as they can. And it's been a difficult job. We are so wealthy. And because, see, everybody out here is not a communist. And everybody's not a dupe and a pro-communist. And because the others don't know the name of the game, and so while some are destroying, the others are building. And the whole system is built with such plenty that those who are behind the scheme scenes doing this, even though they are wealthy and have great power, they have a terrible time stripping us we're so wealthy. But they're accomplishing it slowly over a period of time. It's been a real struggle to try to weaken the nation. And they're trying to sell it down the river, of course. Now, I'm not speaking things I don't know. I've followed this all my life. And I've got great amount of data for what I'm saying. This morning, I'm just giving you the high points. I've already read you last time about the cries from all people for disarmament, for weakening, for bringing the nation out of nationalism into world government. And I've got more data to bring you, a lot more proof if you'll stick with me. What else do we do? Constant strikes. Constant strikes. That weakens the nation. Everywhere there are strikes. The communists have infiltrated the unions all across the United States, in case you don't know it. The unions are heavily infiltrated by communism. And they have one purpose: strike, 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 strike. That cuts down the gross national product. What happens when you strike? You're not only without wages during that period of time, but as soon as you get your wage increased, the company comes and they put higher prices on their goods. They're going to get their profits one way or another. And so the price goes up. And as soon as the prices go up, then the steel workers say, well, we've got to have ours. And then they say, well, we've got to have ours. And everybody's got to have theirs. And so they all press, so they get higher wages, then they raise the prices. Then they get to have higher wages, so then they raise the prices. And there's no end. It's an inflationary spiral designed to bring the United States and these nations to the knees, so the bubble's going to burst one of these days. You only can spend on a credit card so long, and you're going to be dead after a while. That's the purpose of doing that. And of course, the dupes in the union, all they can think of is their next paycheck. They can't stop to think what this is doing to it on an international scale. In the state of Washington alone, a number of years ago, I don't have any recent figures, a number of years ago, 1,000 businesses a month were going out because Japan is getting rich, fabulously rich. And Germany, they're sending in things to the nation because we are outpricing. Our wages are going up and up and up until we can't produce anymore what they can produce over there. Now, it used to be that they had low wages. We could still handle it because we had mass production. But now they got mass production, and we are pricing ourselves out of existence. Now, they're having runaway inflation, too, so that kind of slows down the process a bit. But, you say, well, what's the difference then? The difference is the civilized nations are having runaway inflation, and the third world, and in their position, there's an imbalance that's happening there. Now, there's a lot more to it. Inflation drives up the cost of gold. It's up about $300 an ounce or something, I guess, now. Something like that. Either, or else they're expecting it to, I'm not sure, but just read that the other day, of gold. Inflation so that paper money will not have gold backing. It has dropped so seriously, we have lost so much gold backing. And then they keep passing more laws saying, well, you need less gold backing for the paper, and then less gold backing, and then less gold backing. They get down to 25%, and then they cut that in half down to 12%, going to pass to 12%, and pretty soon your paper money doesn't become worth anything at all. And they get you down so you've got nothing left. And so then when the world wants the payments in gold, you can't pay it, and you're bankrupt. This nation is in a place right now, I'll be reading some data next time, where any time the communist nations, all the West or Europe, either one, wants to ask this nation to pay up the debts, we're bankrupt. We cannot pay. And we continue to throw money away like we got it without, tax the American taxpayers higher and heavier and throw it away to the nations. Then we need to, then we loan and we give gold to other nations to help build them up. Doing it constantly. Just in this deal in Israel, there are excuses to get rid of money. For example, with Israel and Egypt, when we put pressure on Israel to give the Sinai Peninsula to Egypt, but then they lost bases. So guess who came in and bought more bases for them and paid for it? The United States did. You're paying for the bases that they lost. Now, inflation, so the United States builds, and so what do we do? Then we all people run over and build companies in other nations. That's what's been happening. We got companies all over the world because it's cheaper to build them there than here because of inflation. And then we work for the communists and the anarchists to take over our plants in those nations so we no longer own them. And that's been happening all around the globe. That's building them up, and then they take them over, so we lose them. It's all part of a plan. And so we've got lots of United States companies all over the globe. And then we build up communism, and I've got a lot of data to prove this, and a lot of people to know. Communism, this is all a plan for world government. Wait till I get done with the whole thing, and you'll see it. Communism Russia has been given the favored nation status. You know that. Can anybody think why? Since they say we will bury you, since they have avowed that, we will bury you, since they are working constantly against us, since they have built up a bigger military might than we have, why should they be given a favored nation status? I just read the other day, you probably have too, the tremendous wheat and corn deals we're going to give Russia, bigger than the last ones we gave them, when we were selling them bread much cheaper than the American gets it. Why should they get it cheaper than you and I get it in this nation? When they have got money to build military bigger than our country and are threatening with us with it, and they have got a tremendous threat hanging over our head, building bases all over the world, enormous. They've got equipped missiles that can destroy all of our missile sites. But we can't destroy those in hard bases. We're in soft bases. So now we're trying to go to an MX system where we have, I think it's 14 missile silos separated about 2 miles apart. So we keep trading missiles from silo to silo to silo through these tunnels with dummy missiles, constantly moving them so they won't know which one it is because they can now destroy any missile site. We are the ones that gave them that enablement. They have anti-missile systems against ours, but we don't have it against theirs. We've got a soft underbelly from the south that they can come right in with planes or anything. We can't even detect them half the time when they come in. We've got serious holes, and yet they've got the money to do this, and we're not even threatening them. We wouldn't threaten anybody. We would never have attacked a nation. It's obviously for aggressive purposes, not defensive, and yet we give them loans, money free, and then we cancel the debts. We cancel the entire World War II Marshall Plan debt. They owed money on the United Nations, and they never paid it, and we paid it for them. In the wheat deal, we gave it to them on credit. The Chase Manhattan Bank, when the United States said, which is owned by Rockefeller and Company, we will guarantee the United States loan, and if Russia doesn't pay it, we'll pay it. Why are they so benevolent to pay what Russia doesn't pay? There's a lot of things going on here. Now, not only the wheat deals, potassium plants, which is the basic ingredient for fertilizer, and they're having tremendous farm problems. And there's a war going on in the East right now for the biggest potassium fields in the world. And the United States is making sure that the communists are going to win over there and get it. What are we doing? We are building enormous potassium plants in Russia, so they will have fertilizer so they won't have to depend upon us so they can get along. It was said that if they had a war against us during these crisis droughts, they could not last over 10 days and supply their nation. They were in real trouble in the last lack of food. They were slaughtering their hogs and everything else to try to get food to get by. They lacked wheat and grain. We had this nation. We had them right where we wanted them. We could put very serious restrictions upon them. If they're going to get anything from us, they're going to do some things. We put no strings to it whatsoever. Give it to them on credit at a cheaper price, underwrite it, and raise the price of American food. Now, why? We've given up nations to them. We've given up countries to them. When we were coming into World War II, we pulled back our armies and let the Russians come in and take Berlin and all that and take all the scientists out and all the machinery out. We were warned about that by Churchill and others. We share technical information with them. We've shared technical information with China. One of these nuclear deals, I don't know the field well enough, but you have to get your temperatures up to a super high, and they couldn't begin to get it up to that high. And so we took our scientists and shipped them over there and showed them how and brought them over to our laboratories and showed them how to get the temperatures up so they could get the nuclear fusion or whatever it was. Just read the other day, we're showing our technical information with China, what they've got to give us. Nothing. We're giving it all to them. We are purposely building them up so they can destroy us. Although that isn't what they were planning on exactly. That later. And then we cancel all the debts and we finance them. We are building up communism. We're building up the third world, the whole third world. We've given away our colonies. We've given away Cuba. Look what's happened to it. Given away the Philippines. Anti-Americanism is rife in the Philippines right now, and the communists are working hard there. Britain has given away all the colonies. What's happened to those colonies? Almost all the colonies Britain has given away are going communist. We want to give away the Panama Canal, although we have rights for it forever in the contract, and we're going to pay money to give it away and lose all the payment of the thing. All of this is so the United States will become more equal to the non-Christian world to offset God's blessing to the Christian nations. So our nation will be willing to join in a world government. Otherwise, we will not join, and there will be no world government if we stay rich. Now, all of this, of course, is along with no-win wars. Purposely, don't win in Korea. Dividing line in the middle. MacArthur said, I could win any time I wanted to in Korea. The State Department hampered me at every turn. They prohibited me. I could not go up beyond the Incheon Bar. I could not bomb those 100 bridges at the Yalu River. I could not attack enemy planes that were fleeing him. I could not do this. I could not do this. Any time he was allowed to, he said, I could win in Korea. And when he ran way up north, they said, no, you stop and come back. And they had to make they would not allow them to pursue. They had to make the same thing in Vietnam. These no-win wars are not because we don't have ability. They are purposely designed to waste our money, to drain the nation of nationalistic feeling. Remember I quoted you last week about how that they said get rid of the nationalistic feeling? Get the people so they don't ever want to fight another war again. So communism can take over the globe and there won't be big United States brother back there to back them up as part of the idea. Drain the country of money, lose the will to fight communism, but keep the threat. And what's happened? We've lost Vietnam anyway. They could have gone and taken it over, nothing flat. But they've lost it anyway. All they had to do, they didn't have to even send any armies there. They didn't have to send anything. All they had to do, even from just from the missile system. They didn't have any missile system. And it's all been back. They had 100,000, over 300,000 Chinese fighting there. All they had to do, if they didn't quit the nonsense, our missiles are incapable, interballistic missiles are capable of hitting within a half mile of the targets, and a lot of them a lot closer than that, and wiping out that target with what they call clean atomic warfare, with minimum radio fallout to hit these particular sites, hit every military site, and would put them right out of business. And not lose any men over there. Wouldn't have to lose any men. But you see, they try to make the world feel like, if we do that, what? What? Russia has already exploded more megaton in their tests than we would have had to explode over there to get the job done. Russia wouldn't have done one thing about it, nothing they could do about it. Every time this nation has stood up, they've had to back down. But we back down constantly. That would be immoral. You ever heard about the immorality of Hiroshima and Nagasaki? How many have heard about the immorality, how evil we are? Lies of the devil. Let me tell you why. One, that nation attacked the United States. Number two, General MacArthur estimated it would cost the lives of 600,000 American men to defeat Japan without that. It would have killed more Americans and it would have killed more Japanese than were ever killed in those two raids if we had not used nuclear power over Nagasaki and Hiroshima. If we had gone in, we would then not have had to have people's hair fall out and genetic problems. We would have blown the bodies apart, blown the legs off, blown the arms off, put napalm bombs on them, burn them with fire, burn them with flamethrowers, phosphorus bombs to burn them with incendiaries in the homes. How's that any better? How is that any different? How is that any blessing? You see the lies? In other words, you should have slowly killed a lot more people. That would have been more humane. Constant lies. Now, the people are so brainwashed, they don't know straight up. When an enemy attacks you, you have a right to down them as fast and clean as possible. We could have defeated Vietnam, South Vietnam, and within 1 week, and it would all have been over with. And we've saved a lot of American lives and a lot of Vietnamese lives. We would have saved all kinds of lives. We've killed a lot of people we have prolonged the war at an enormous cost. And then they end up winning, and then we give them the biggest air force in the whole world. Leave it right there on the lap to make them stronger yet. And ask yourself the question, why do we have to give them $10 million or $10 billion a warplane, the largest air force in the entire world we gave them? Why do we have to leave it? Airplanes know how to fly. Why didn't they fly into Australia and the Philippines and every plane? Why do we leave them all sitting there? Why don't we even at least blow them up? Some hard questions have never been answered. I notice the press presses continually about Nixon and Watergate, but I never hear them pressing about things like this. Not a word is ever said. General MacArthur said, there's no substitute for victory. Eleanor Roosevelt bounced up and said, we must learn to live with no-win wars. There's a philosophy behind that, and that's what we've entered into. They fired the admirals and the generals who insist on winning. They didn't have a vision of world government. We have fired so many admirals and generals in this country. Every time people get upset about this nation, those generals and admirals were supposed to warn the nation, they fire them. That's right. We've had a lot of them fired. We have now got people sitting there in high places and generals and so forth that have sold out to this world government plan. They're part of the CFO. We are selling the United States property to foreigners. They're buying U.S. property, which is absolutely illegal to the Constitution. They're not allowed to do that. That would have to be an act of Congress. But without congressional decision, we are selling pieces of America to foreigners. Why? No American's ever been asked about that. They're driving up the cost of energy with a fake energy crisis. I'm going to show you, we've got evidence from at least two sources that they're running gas out on the ground to keep from giving it to people. They're selling it to nations all over the earth. They are purposely converting it into other forms. They are stalling on it. They're dragging their feet all they can to raise the cost of energy. So the oil producers can get fabulously rich. I have some enormous things to bring you about this subject. I'll hold till that time. Russia, interesting enough, has excess oil, so they're not impacted by this. This energy thing is not like it seems. Neither is the nuclear thing like it seems. It all brings money into the Ten Kings, the internationalists. That's what's happening. The Peace Corps, a long time ago, the whole reason for the Peace Corps was to start pilot project to get our minds into world brotherhood, to get us out there, to get American people to go out there and live in squalor and try to help the people. Not that I'm against benevolent to human beings, but that wasn't because their heart was so big. Because they got other designs. Their heart isn't benevolent. They let Americans live in hovels and they don't do even bother even hardly touch it. I think, first of all, a nation owes their own people to take care of. They pay taxes in their own name. We got poor people in this nation, not only poor blacks, but we got poor whites. But you go down to the city of Brasilia, that gorgeous, beautiful city built at enormous expense, high into the jungle, and I've seen films of it, and I've heard the missionaries, and I've all the rest. And those great big superhighways that limousines drive on and no cars are hardly there, and right off of the freeway are all these cardboard huts of the people washing clothes in the river, and all these big abstract, all these big abstract figures and under pools of water. That was all built by United States money, while the American poor people don't get anything. We have given money all over the face of the earth in all kinds of projects like this. First of all, you take care of your own people. The United Nations has been a tool from the beginning for world government. It has cost us dearly in this nation. We should never have had a United Nations. Now, it's okay to have a united non-communist nation, but any time you make a pact with the devil, you're going to lose. Don't ever sign contracts with Dillinger, Al Capone. They have already. President Kennedy got up in his speech when he wanted to become president. And he warned the people and said something like, the communists have already broken 586 agreements in Korea alone. They have already broken thousands of agreements. We're constantly making more. They've warned us and warned us. They know full well. All of them know. And yet we're constantly trying to make more agreements with them. The World Council of Churches. The purpose of the World Council of Churches is to strip the churches of the Bible and of God's power and of miracles and of salvation. And so they have taken out the songs about the blood and call it a bloody religion. They have taken out the virgin birth and the miracles. They have worked. The communists spent $17 million in the first year on a pilot program in the Methodist seminaries of this country. And you know what happened to Methodism? It's a long ways from what it used to be under John Wesley. Long ways. Striptease, the fug in the aisle, and homosexuals, and the political gospel. I'm not saying everyone's that way, but the Methodist Church has gone down to be a very... It has supported Angela Davis and activists and communists and all kinds of things. And it's a shame. The Methodists were one of the most revivalistic churches in America at one time. The World Bank. Do you ever have any suspicions about the World Bank? You know who's paying the big portion of the world? This country. We're already theoretically bankrupt, but they're going to do it anyway. People are already pressed, taxation, they're going to do it anyway. World Police Force, what's that for? NATO. You say, well, we got NATO. We've got the Atlantic Treaty Organization for non-communists. Sure. You pay money for the non-communists for this hand and the communists for that hand. The same as Israel over here and Arabs over here. They have always played one side against the other. That way they get money from both sides. They get tax money from both sides. That helps weaken the nation. See? We've made the anti-gun laws. That's so there'll be no counter-revolution. When they pull the switch, nobody will have any guns to come out and force and do anything about it. That same thing was done in Hungary and those countries there, and before the communists took over, they came in, passed no gun laws, took all the guns away from the people, and the communists came in and take over. And when that happened, the revolution, the people couldn't fight back. There's a lot of hunters in this country. They don't like a lot of Americans with guns. They might not like it when they begin to see some takeovers. So they want to strip everybody of it. Now, it's foolish to think that taking away guns is going to help our crime problems. Because anybody who, except the most abject fool, knows that criminals are not going to surrender their guns. Can you imagine criminals going in and surrendering their guns? They're obviously going to hide them. They're not going to find them when they go to their homes. Besides, they know how to make guns. They know how to get them. And they'll always have them. You're never going to get... The criminals are not going to go without guns. It would be better if they said, every American, buy a gun and keep it loaded in your house in a certain place where the children couldn't get at it. You had to have a certain deal. You had to turn a certain switch to get it. And if anybody comes in your house and tries to take anything, blast them out of existence. Now, if they did that, the crime rate would go, whew! Just like that. You got to build a fortress around your house. It'd be much better to say, get a gun. And anybody steps in your house that's not right, let them have it. It would slow down these people trying to take everything away from everybody. They don't know how to do anything in this country right. because they've gone away from God. Half the accidents in America, you know, talking about nuclear power, for example, Three Mile Island, gone 15 years with over 100 reactors, and they never had an accident or problem except one sabotage job at Three Mile Island. But what happens with cars, for example? I'll give you this later, so I'm going to really shorten it. 1/3 of a million people maimed every year and 65,000 killed every year. That means in 10 years, 650,000 killed. That means killing every man, woman, and child in Seattle every year with cars. They know how to make safety cars. They got a lot of data on it. I saw engineering reports. I'll bring that to you next time. They've got it all figured. They've known for years how to bring safety cars. They are murdering them by the thousands. We've lost more people with cars being killed than we do in Vietnam, and half of them are because of drunks. Now, there are all countries in Europe I've read about, and also Puerto Rico, there are all countries that they take your license and everything away and put you in jail for 5 years if you kill, if anybody gets killed and so forth for your driving, if you are a drunk, and they just, I've had people say, we don't drive over there drunk. I mean, somebody else takes you and drives you to a party. You just don't drive that way. And some places they shoot you. And they don't have many problems with cars that way, because they keep away from cars when they're drunk. But in this nation, we've got taverns on the highways, last chance before the freeway. That's right. Pull in and get tanked up. So your vision gets all blurred, and so you go down the highway and you can't drive straight. That's what they do in this country. And nobody seems concerned. But they're so concerned about Three Mile Island. Losing a lot of people that way, but I don't see a finger raised against the drunks. TV is offering it. Slight alcohol runs to the children even, although it's a major problem in America. They did a study and said one out of every 11 people were alcoholics or desperate problem drinkers. And the people in San Francisco got all mad about it, and then they hired a private survey and found it was 1 in 7 in Frisco. There's been lies and attacks on the CIA and FBI in order to curb their powers. J. Edgar Hoover was a Christian man who did a good job. They had done everything they could to discredit him and wipe out the FBI powers. And the CIA. The CIA has been one of the things that has kept communism down all over the world. They have done a fantastic job in keeping communism down. But what have they done? Come and lied to the American people and said, who wants them having to come tapping your line? They tap in your line. If they can tap lines and so forth, come right into your home and hear you. Now, can you imagine? With the limited manpower they've got, they're worried about anarchists. They're worried about communists. Can you imagine them go out and tap old Mrs. Brown's line and see how much money she's spending on groceries? You know, they're listening, and she bought some celery now. It's 94 cents for celery. Okay, now she's buying oranges, you know. I mean, they're not interested in old Mrs. Brown on the street. That's what they try to pass off on the people so they wouldn't have anybody checking up on the criminals. But what has the result of all of this been? I'll tell you the result. When you go into a defense plant, you no longer have to sign the anti-communist security laws like you used to. No longer do you have to say, I will not sabotage you. You used to have to do that. They're no longer allowed to have the forms, none of their business anymore. They no longer can ask, are you a communist? They say, that's none of your business. I can be a communist if I want to. So we've got Gus Hall, the head of the Communist Party of America, and there should be no Communist Party of America. That's treason. They've always said, we will bury you, and he comes out on the United States radio and says, you ministers like to sing about the blood. We're going to have your blood. We're going to kill over 60 million of you. Come right out on American radio and tell people that. You like to sing about the blood. We're going to have your blood. Sure, they're allowed to stand in the corner, daily worker, and sell communist papers in America. Communism almost took over Brazil. They got the government and the civil government. They got the Navy. They got the Air Force. They had a democratic anti-communist army, and they rose up and took over the country. And if it hadn't been for that, communism would have taken over Brazil. And our missionaries have said, down in Brazil, they don't understand you down in America. They say, what's the matter with you people? Look what the communists are doing. How come you're letting them take over? Why don't you throw them out like we did? And the missionary said, we don't have any good answer for them. We don't know why they let them do that. You don't get away with that in Russia. You don't go over there and preach anti-communism and get up on the radio in Russia and say, we're going to have your blood. We're going to bury you. Not by a long shot. You're pitting these things. Government loans to the schools. Government grants and loans to the schools is for the purpose of controlling the education of the youth. That's what it's for. That money could be raised without federal money, but they want federal money in there so they can control it. And they've made some very unfair laws because of that. Even made decisions and judgments about colleges, even saying that if you even get veterans, if a person gets veterans money from is a veteran and he got money from the veterans, they say interstate commerce. He didn't come to the school, came to the person. Your school is affected, interstate commerce. Things like this that make no sense whatsoever. They're hunting for ways to control you. Government contracts to all industries. They want to finance, they want to get the money into all industries, get as much. See, the war needs mean they have to have rubber, plastics, all kinds of things. That gets government contracts. That means they can control you, how you hire, what you do, and they can control you, get government control. They have pressed, they are pressing the churches to the IRS to pay taxes. So the independent churches will go under. They're making it difficult. The National Council of Churches is saying, we represent the churches of America. And they're purposely making through the building, I mentioned this 15 years ago, through the building departments, they're making it as difficult as possible for churches to be able to build so only the wealthy denominations and so forth can do it. So the small ones can't make it and will have to go under, all the little fundamentalists. So they'll go under. And they're pressing tax-wise, so the small ones will have to go under, can't make it. That's why this last deal about our schools, too, see, and that's where you have so many minority and so forth under will go. They have gained control of the mass media. You've got the Associated Press, you've got the United Press, and what happens? All over the world, information comes in. It takes quite a bit of time because of the complexity for little independents to rush out and get the news. And everybody wants it on the next page. So the Associated Press or the United Press, they give it out. And so it's easy to get it from them. It costs you very little money. It comes right in direct. And boom, you just put it right out. And so all of a sudden, they have enticed the reporters to give it just like the government gets it. And they're lying to the people. I have all kinds of proof and data of lie. I'll mention three cases real quickly of either lies or withholding information. Down in Colombia, about 20 years ago now, there was a mammoth Catholic, anti-Protestant uprising. I saw movies from missionaries. I saw great big pictures this big. I've heard reports from the missionaries. It was in Assemblies of God magazines and others. We protested to Italy. We protested to the Vatican and so forth. They were killing communists in Colombia and Bolivia and some other countries. They were killing them by the thousands, making them dig their own graves. These priests were standing up in the middle, shoot with 30-06 rifles, shooting at the Protestants. They bombed the home of one of our missionaries, and I saw pictures of rifle fire and all through the home, and they threw a bomb in the front and the bedroom window. The Lord led them to sleep in the kitchen that night, and they escaped the force of the explosion. I've heard the missionaries come back and tell what they've done. They said, we'll give you Protestant devils 48 hours to get out of town. They were killing them, slaughtering them the whole time. During that time, the Pope was begging for tolerance and so forth for the communists of the Catholics in Russia. None of that ever reached the American press. I never read it in any of the American press. And my brother stood in the University of Washington campus there, and a Catholic priest was asking questions. My brother said, I want to know why Do you Catholics understand what's going on down there, you priest? Do you know what's happening? Why isn't it being brought to the American people? Do you justify it? And I want to know why. And that wasn't the kind of question he wanted. And he said, well, I think what happened, he says, some Texas boys got down there and they begin to say things against Mary, the Mother of God. And so, you know those people down there, and they get a little bit riled up. And he pounded all off in this. I noticed that Cardinal Spellman of the United States, the Pope said one word about it. They never pulled back any of them. There was a whole anti-Catholic movement born in this country. Published an anti-Catholic magazine I used to receive. When they got disillusioned, when they saw what was happening down there by the Roman Catholic Church, it never entered our press. But the missionaries brought it back, and it was in our newspapers. I mean, the church newspapers. The press suppressed it. When the U-2 plane was shot down in Russia, the first thing that came out in our press was denied the report. Absolutely, totally untrue. 3 or 4 days later, they admitted it was true. They had the goods on them, and they had to admit it. They came out and gave a lie to the press, but they later had to admit it. In the case of the missile crisis in Cuba, though, they said, we took our missiles out of, and Kennedy really backed down Khrushchev. Yeah, he really backed him down. All we had was pictures from our destroyers showing those missile cases going out. And I said to myself at the time, from the Pope, I said, missile cases, but who knows what's in it? President Kennedy told them, we will not check the cases. We will take your word for it. Our CIA afterwards told us that in Cuba the missiles are still there in the caves. They have not taken them out. That's all we heard was brag, brag, brag that Kennedy backed Khrushchev down. I read in the Spotlight and other magazines like this, I read that Khrushchev demanded we take our missiles out of Turkey before he take them out of Cuba. And we backed down and took missiles out of Turkey, and he took missile cases out of Cuba. And that never came out in the press. 4 years later, I think it was, I read in the New York Times a backhanded admission. It just said, Turkey is asking for atomic landmines between Turkey and Russia to replace the missiles that were in the agreement between Khrushchev and Kennedy when Khrushchev removed the missiles from Cuba. We had to remove the missiles from Turkey that he was threatening about, he was upset about, and that's why they pushed down in Cuba to get rid of those. And so he pushed Kennedy, got rid of them, and they kept the missiles. We never did keep the missiles in Turkey. Who pushed down back who? And I found that the right-wing papers were right, and the medium finally came out and backhanded admitted it without really telling you, trying to tell and inform the American public. I could go on and on and on and on and on. I got all kinds of data. You're being lied to by your mass media. Liberals have taken over, and pro-communists and others, and have taken in as the editorship. And they've used the FCC on radio, the Federal Communications Commission, to begin to put pressure and to back down and to work against. In fact, I will listen to a lecture uphill by the leader of the Assemblies of God, C.M. Ward, who's the NBC told them, took the four greatest programs off the air and said, we don't want your kind, and we're going to get the rest of you. And they've used the FCC in order to bring in a liberalistic approach. I don't have time to go into details right now on that. It's not quite the fairness doctrine that it looks like on the surface. It wasn't for that purpose, really. The dropping of loyalty oaths, non-communist pledges, and security checks has been to help weaken this nation. We have brought propaganda favoring the communists. I've got all kinds of data. I've got two notebooks that thick. One of them on China, one of them on Russia, and another one on independent communism. Just loaded with data I've collected over the years, plus a whole lot of books. Propaganda favoring all religions but Bible Christians. Have you noticed that other religions have always been come in favor and vogue in Christian America in the last 15 years? You're not supposed to say anything against any other religion. But have you noticed that the good old-fashioned Pentecostal persuasion has not been one of those that's been left uphill and bragged on? Have you noticed that those that deal with the real Bible believing has been constantly degraded and pushed down and pushed down? While other foreign, the islands of the sea, we've got much to learn from the Indians and so forth. You read that from the editor of the religion from a local newspaper down there. Much to learn from the Indians, he says. Much to learn from the natives of the sea, he says. And yet he attacked community chapel. He attacked what was that woman who had the gift of healing? Catherine Kuhlman. He attacked all of those, but he vindicated the American Indian with a totem pole worship and the others, and the Hawaiians who threw the babies off of the cliffs for their gods and also for... He worshipped, he vindicated them and said, we've got much to learn from them. He's a Lutheran. He says he's a Lutheran. I don't believe he's a Lutheran. Not a Lutheran. You know what I mean? He's the other kind of Lutheran. Yeah, there are two kinds of Lutherans. There's two kinds of Presbyterians. There's two kinds of Methodists. There's two kinds of all of those. This government and the nation is pushing the occult. Our government has got United States money to get in the military and other places, getting transcendental meditation into the schools, the military, into training, government, position, all types of things. There's a number of occult things our government is pushing, which have no business pushing. They're supposed to be out of that. Political movies on television to distort history. I've got an article for you to read on that when I get an opportunity. Purposely trying to lie to you about the history. Pushing for the destruction of the American family. They're pushing for the destruction of parental control through the year of the child, through marriages, morality, and unity and submission of a wife to the husband and children to the parents. They are trying to destroy the American family and the church and loyalty and national feelings in America. And they're doing this to women's liberation. Women's liberation is an evil movement. It has brought in lesbianism. It has brought in constant adultery, what they call free love. It has brought in rebellion to what they call independence. And these things have been happening through what is called the Year of the Child, a children's liberation movement, which is fostered by men and adults. Women's liberation movement was fostered by men. The black liberation movement was fostered by white men. All of this has been fostered by people who are not doing this for the purpose of big heart. But they're part of the devil's scheme. The civil rights movement, I'm not saying everything that happens in civil rights that there isn't some justification. I'm not saying that, remember. But the civil rights movement is not civil rights, it's civil wrongs. And that does not mean that I am against blacks, and we ought to have the black people down out here on the Mississippi toting bales of cotton. They misunderstand. They've been so brainwashed, they don't really know what the civil rights movement is all about. The civil rights movement is not a getting blacks to a status where they can be treated fairly. That is not what it's about, my friend. If that's what you think it's about, no wonder you're offended by those remarks, because you don't know what it's really about. You should take contemporary problems in a Bible college and learn what it's all about. Those are some of the things in the process. In fact, when it first started, they first started doing some things, I made the statement. I said, have you noticed? Right now they're saying it's evil to hire by skin color. It's evil to hire. You should hire as though you do not know what race they're from. Now, I agree. But when I taught contemporary problems, I said, now you watch. That will change. That is only a first step. That is only a guide. That will change. And it sure changed. Now they're hiring by skin color. That's right. They don't mind at all discriminating. A man comes in, he's a white man. He is qualified for the job, he's the first one to apply, and he cannot have the job because he does not have the right skin color. They'll take a less qualified minority, lower the standards to put him in. On what basis? That man's discriminated. He has a family. He has just as much right as that man. They talk about minority. We want the minority to be fair to the minority just because they're the minority. That is a lie. They do not want the minority to do that. If they want the minority, they'll be interested in the individual. You can't get any more minority than the individual. That question was asked on national TV, on TV, and when the person said, well, how can you do that? And they said, well, because they haven't caught up with the masses yet. And I said, that is what communists teach us. They only deal with the masses. They don't care about the individual, it's the masses. And they're thinking by the masses. Skin color by the masses. If they care about the individual, why do they care about the masses? The masses are a lot of individuals. They want the masses because they're going to have civil war and blood flowing is what they're going to have. They're not interested in the black man. They're not interested in the individual. The same group that pushes the black man down in the south part of the country is pushing the industrial white man in the unions up there in Detroit. And I've got a lot of data on this. I'm just giving the bottom line right now. I must rush on. My time is away and gone. Civil rights movement that's putting in the jobs that have brought adultery. Women into the jobs with America. And what's it done with the men? Side by side. Here they are, man truck driver and a woman truck driver, stopping on the roads and taking turns sleeping back and forth in the cab. Out there, you wives want your husbands out with another woman all day long in the cab? Out on all these kind of men's jobs? Why are they doing that? They want that. They want infidelity. They want all they can do of adultery. They want to break down the marriage family. That's what they want to do. That's the purpose of the whole thing. The civil rights women have pushed to have the women into the military. Why do they want them in the military? Americans have always wanted to, men have wanted to protect their wives so they wouldn't have to go out in nasty war and get their legs blown off and their arms blown off and up in mosquito-infested water this deep where the gnats are all about them and big iguana lizards that long down in the South Pacific and the gall of big spiders and have to live under that and press and press and press and the women have to go through their periods and they're weaker than men and the first marches, those men have to do some real hard, tough things. And they don't want their wives and women in those. They want to protect the American women. But these people are up there arguing with these admirals and various people saying, we want our women to be in the military. We want them to be in combat. Why do they want them in combat? They're not pushing for a strong America, so why do they want them in combat? They want to have all the intersex they can between the men and the women, for one. They want to destroy the position of the woman and bring her into a place like in freedom in Russia where she can tote big bricks and wheelbarrows full of mud and do all the heavy work. They want to destroy the concept of femininity. They're part of the big unisex program. Women in the management. Women don't belong in management. They're not emotionally capable of handling management positions properly. And God said, don't put them in there. God said the women should not be over the men, and so we're doing it. Pushing it. Doing everything we can. We don't care a straw about the Bible in this land as far as leadership goes. Part of the reason for women's management is to get women to a place where there's a loss of submission to the husband. And the men, because they get women bossing men around. Everything works together as one piece of this giant puzzle. They're pushing for racial strife, through reverse discrimination, through power plays, through lies and upset minorities. I could tell you a lot about that. My time, I'm rushing. I want to finish this. They're weakening the educational standards, driving up costs, increasing inefficiency, through government force to hire by race, sex, and to admit to colleges and pass the unqualified, which is discrimination. They lower the record. Down, for example, I think it's in California. Well, they have two groups for the medical school, one for minorities, one for others. So if you cannot pass the tests to get into medical school and be a surgeon, they lower the tests, and the minorities can get in on a special rating and do not have to compete with the other people. That way, your surgeon won't be as qualified. And in the schools, they've taken away the grade, it's pass-fail. They've taken away, in fact, it's automatic pass in some of them, taken away all grade standards. And they've taken it out, they've changed the school system, and lowered the thing so you can get in for minorities. They have let the minorities, they have pushed them in. Now, my friend, if your diploma means anything, if you're going to fly an airplane, you hope he hasn't cheated on his test and been let in because he's black or an Indian. If he's going to do an operation on you, you don't want somebody who's not as capable. You want to hold the standards that were set for a reason. We had standards set in the police department. You had to go out and do a grueling physical test, be so big and so tall. They have lowered it. Now, these little tiny runted women, but little tiny sawed-off women are part of the police force standing. Don't you feel safe with them around? Standing around. So they get into a fight, and there's a great big drunken bully man, two policemen, can work on them. But now they got a little tiny girl on the other end. And they try to back them up. Brother Russell told me of one case. The woman pulled this man over. He got out of the car and he walked back and saw it was a woman policeman. He pushed her down in the dirt and got in his car and drove on, and she laid there and bawled. And the men don't like it when they have to go out and do nasty bank jobs and handle rough people out there and have to have a woman back up. Weigh 125 or 30 pounds. They've taken away the standard that was set for a reason. They don't care what they're doing to the land, the nation. That's part of the reason they're putting all these TV loaded for the women, throwing men all over the place. So that people will begin to think that they can do these things. When they can't do these things, they do not have that ability. They're weakening our military police force by having women in it under civil rights, so-called. They don't have any rights to get in there. That's not their job. They can't handle the job. They flunk out and they should not be allowed in because they can't pass. That's reason enough. That's not discrimination. They could never pass that rigorous job. I know Carl Holster told me what he had to go through before they lowered the requirements. They're weakening the military by having women and put them in those positions. They're weakening male resolve by mixed athletics. You know, we know how men play athletics, hammer and tongue. Women don't play it the same way. Put men and women together and they play patsy. They don't play the same kind of ball game when women are mixed with the men. Men never play with women the same as they do men against men. They fight hard against the men, but not against the women. They're trying to break down male submission. Get women in all these positions so the male is, have a woman teacher. First the mother tells what to do, the woman teaches what to do, the woman clerk tells her what to do, the woman boss tells them what to do, and so a man is put in the reverse role. You see, this is Satan working against God. God says man to be head of the woman, parents against over the children, pastors over the people, civil rulers over the people. The devil's turning it all upside down. Now, I'll be through this in a minute. If you can see it all together, you'll see what is happening in this nation. This has a very big spiritual import. I'll be bringing you in the days to come. I'll be bringing you the spiritual import, what position we should have in it, and the necessity of us doing what we're doing and seeing this, so we do not become a part of this world government. We're weakening them. There are a lot of people. If you miss the rapture, you're going to be in the world government. And you better know what's happening and what to do about it if you're ever stuck there. You also better have some incentive to miss it. You better see what's happening, keep your eyes upon it so you know what to do and know we mean serious business when we're preaching. Confusing the sexes into unisex, women's lib. Part of the long-haired movement is part of this thing. That makes men look more feminine. They want that. And then you walk up and there's a man with his shirt off facing the other way, long hair, and you think, well, here's that woman with this long hair and she's topless until you pass and see he's got a beard. But then the shock gets off, and after a while you see a woman that way and you think nothing about it. You've seen it this so much. And women all have these real short hair. Men's got long hair and women have short hair. And they finally end up with both the same length. Now, men come and say, well, long hair doesn't mean my hair's down just like this, and that isn't really long. Long is put on your back. And they say, well, it may not be long. It's unisex. Unisex. Don't dress as the other sex. I see women and men in the stores standing side by side, clerks and so forth, and their hair is identical. The medium length, so-called, I call it long, they call it medium, is unisex. And long is a contrary to Scripture. And the short for the women is contrary to Scripture. The man look, as they call it. They even call it the man look. They even say unisex haircuts. The whole purpose, this is part of a plan, my friend, and you must not join it. Now, we're allowing big crime syndicates to go on. We're allowing the crime rate to constantly soar in this country. You say, well, what can be done about it? All kinds of things. Let me just give you one example. All over this nation, we've got army people sitting in forts, don't we? Waiting for a war to start. Men sitting in forts playing cards and reading Life magazines and telling dirty jokes, doing nothing, getting paid to sit there. Why don't they turn the soldiers out of the forts in trucks and truck them into the city and put every truck under a police officer, and why don't those men with helmets and rifles going up and down the street to keep your homes from getting broken into and protect your cars from getting stolen and protect people from tearing up the neighborhood? They're not doing anything. You keep them exercised. How about using them? Free policemen. Thousands of them all over the whole nation. In fact, we've got a couple of million sitting there doing nothing. How about trucking them out and having them run out and down the streets at night so the ladies are safe and so the people are safe, so your homes are safe? Not a thought of that. President Johnson gets up and says, if I get to be president, I'm going to cut the crime rate 5%. Big goal. Of course, a claim like that, it always does. No effort at all. Criminals are going free. Laws are made to favor the criminals, as you well know. The prison's a hotbed of crimes. Anybody who goes to prison turns out worse than before he went. So the judges are letting them loose on that excuse. It's exactly what they want. Why don't they put them all in little dinky cubicles? Solitary confinement during the night, that's fine. Little cubicles. All they need is a toilet and a sink and a small bed and a door that opens. They sleep there. In the morning they get up and do hard work all day long, and at night go back there again. Nobody can program anybody. There's no homosexuality going on in prison. There's no big tough man over the others in prison. Nobody's telling anybody else about crime. They're out working and keeping the mouth shut hard all day long, and they're back in the cell at night to sleep. That'd make a lot more sense. And then those that do well could go to a rehabilitation center where they rehabilitate the whole mind and purpose and plan and program. But no such thing. No such thing. And we don't have the money. Then how can we send it all overseas? How can you afford to send it someplace else and give Russia big wheat deals if you can't afford to protect your own people and you're making them all criminals and homosexuals in prison? That's what I want to know. It's driving up the cost of the nation. It's weakening submission to authority. It's leading to sin and more crime. And you know what it all leads to? They want anarchy. The police cannot cope with the problem. It's getting worse and worse and worse. They curse the policemen all the way into prison. Do you know what the end of this is going to be? A cry for police state. They're going to cry, and finally it's going to be so bad that they're going to say, we've got to have protection at any cost. And police state will be born. It's exactly what they want. Now, I don't mean the individual policeman wants that. The people behind the scenes want it. I'm ending here. Believe it or not, I've preached a long time. Laws against spanking in school. Taking Dr. Spock's material, you know. Laws against strong discipline. Student government. The idea of student government was a pilot program so students decide what to do. There should not be any student government. Why student government? You have no business having a student government. Students deciding the classes. Students decided what to do. Students are saying now in some of the college has no right to tell me what I have to know when I get out. They have to give me a diploma. Have you ever read University, UCLA and University of Washington, what you can take in school? Have you ever looked at the electives? And now I kid you not, rocking chair rocking is one of the courses you can take. That is right. A whole lot more like this. All kinds of foolishness and occultness. And it does not have to be by anybody can teach it. Any person, uneducated or otherwise. Now, what's the purpose? To load the people with so much nonsense, trivia, harmful, or nothingness, so they won't take so many of the other courses. That's the reason why. Dropping the requirements, dropping phonics. Even the new math program has turned out to be a big blunder. Textbook revisions. I mean, all these things, I'm tempted to talk 20 minutes each on it, but I can't do that. Right now I'm giving you a survey. Multitude of electives, no-value college courses. I covered that. Okay. I'm going to skip a little bit here. The whole reason for all of this is the purpose of it is destruction of the values of manpower, resources, finances, to create dupes. They're trying to get a people, this is my bottom line, they're trying to make in this country a people who are so immoral, have no national patriotism, with a complete breakdown in the home, have no spiritual attitudes at all, that are like animals, that are with completely broken homes, destroy, bankrupt the nation, destroy all morality and Christianity, loaded full of demon worship and occult, and bringing the nation to its knees, weakening it to a place where it will have to, it'll say, better red than dead. They will join forces with the communists and the third world, and when we join forces with Russia, we're going to find out that, and we join with China, that Russia and China have already been joined, and we're going to find out that when we are on a paw with China and a paw with Russia, and there'll be two paws against one paw, you know what I mean? And then what? Now the whole idea of this game at the end is this. The communists are doing all of this so that they can control the world. The internationalists are not planning on letting the communists rule the world. They are using the communists to get rich and control the whole world. And this dangerous power play game that's being played is so that when they get things where they want it, they control the money and they control communism, therefore. And they're not figuring on letting communism control. That's just one of the pieces, as all. They are going to control it, these 10 kings which have no kingdom as yet, under the Antichrist. And they are going to control it all. And then the communists maybe can have the civil part, and the Catholics can have the religious part, and the Jews can have the financial part. And they can divvy it up in ways like this. But the point is, all the power is going to be up in the international group. The rest will have disarmed, and they're going to control the world. The Bible says it's going to come to pass. And the whole reason for weakening the nation, everything, is to get a world government. So they can control everything at once. These men are called internationalists because they are not Americans. They may live in America, some of them, but it's the world that's their home. And they want control of all the pie. This is a power play. And the end product is Christianity and Jesus Christ stamped to the ground and the devil exalted. That's the end of it. Today I've given you many things without proof. I've just laid it out so you can see all the elements. I'm going to give you more data, detail, proof, and background in the next times to come. I won't be here next week, but the week following. I've got to let you go. You're dismissed right now. The hour's very late. God bless you.